number 266 will turn service to the
Wonderful story of love, tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love, with the immortal strength. Angels with rapture announce it, shepherds with wonder receive it, cheer awoken believe it. Wonderful story of love.
There's several things I'd like to say as we close this meeting. This is my first meeting, and I've enjoyed it, and I've learned a lot, and I've grew a lot. So I hope it's been beneficial to all of you that's been here every night. And I'd like to say thanks, especially to Lookout Hall in Menlo. Most of them have been here every night. We've had quite a support from the other congregations. Several come from Fifth Street. There's a few from Pleasant Grove. We have some from Chickamauga tonight. It's great to see brethren, as we talked about the first night, allow faith to motivate them into coming out, to hearing and learning and growing and waiting on that blessed day, as Emerson said. We ought to be looking for it. It's a great privilege to have a family that supports me, no matter what I've ever done. And if you are a member of the church, I'm going to give you just a quick... I'm a young man, so there's not a lot of advice I can offer to many of you. But if you have a family member that's not a member of the church, all it took from me was doing one Wednesday night invitation. They'll come out and listen. They'll support you. They want to know. They want to be involved in your life. Get involved in the church. And then you'll be surprised what kind of effect that'll have on your family.
Amen.
And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be able to come out this week. I don't think I can put it all into words. It's a blessing to have such love from your local communities. Brother Jesse's made it two nights, and his family, and like I said, almost everybody from Lookout Hall and my whole family has made it every night. And especially guys with gas at the price it is, it's great. It's great. But the bigger picture is that we're all headed to the same place, and we're striving to get there no matter what. If you haven't been here, the first night we talked about faith motivates us. The second night we talked about, I titled it, Don't Fret. You know, this is the real life. There's bad things going to happen. It's not just going to happen to the unjust. He says he calls us to rain on the just and the unjust. We're part of this world. But we have the Comforter to comfort us in these times. And tonight we're going to have a great sermon for three specific reasons, because it was given to me by a great friend. A second reason is because it comes from the great Comforter himself. And the third reason is because it is of the great salvation. That's what we're going to talk about. It's the great salvation that's offered to the world. And it's offered to us. It's besides the great things that are going on, like I said, it's a bigger picture. And that's, I can't even put the words around it right now. I guess the nervousness has left me, and I'm excited. And as Grant told me, he said, "Now it'll be over tonight, and you're not going to want it to be over." I have enjoyed it. It's been very enjoyable. It's great to see brethren you don't get to see regular. You know, they come out to these things, and it's like the third Sunday singings, you know. You kind of look forward to it. Who's going to be there? Who can make it? But it's just a pleasure. It's just a very, very blessed pleasure to be able to be here this week. George has made it every night from Lafayette. And if you don't know, George is one that kept pushing and pushing when I finally moved home, and he baptized me. So it means a lot to have him here. We'll begin in Hebrews, and like I said, I received this from somebody, and they're a lot more talented than I am, so we won't be flipping all through the Bible tonight. He's able to get a whole lesson out of one book. And I hope I can have the attitude as Jesse had. He said, "If you can't preach it, give it to me, I can." That's a great attitude to have, because sometimes we get caught up being like Moses, don't we? I don't know if I can go to Pharaoh and tell him all this. Sometimes we just got to go, don't we? We'll begin in Hebrews chapter 2 at verse 3. "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the time began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" What we're going to talk about is, why is it a great salvation? You ever thought of that? Well, of course we know right off the bat it's great because it's going to escape the damnation of hell. But what's the other reasons? The reasons, like we talked about before, that we should be appreciative, that we should love God. If we really look deep enough to see why it's a great salvation, because there's a lot of people here tonight, although we've had a great number all week, I guess the best way to say it's been a house full. Grant says no matter what you count, it's probably really about 20 or 15. But we have had a great number, but there's a lot of people that's missing out on this great salvation. So we want to begin, why is it a great salvation? What makes it great? Why is it so great? I bet a lot of you are thinking of something right now. Let's look what the Hebrew writer wrote. If you go to chapter 2 at verse 9. "But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God should taste death for every man." It's great because of the price that was paid. It's great because if we look at around us, we live in this great nation. There's men and women around the world right now paying the same price, that we can be free from tyranny, free in the government that we live under. But He, by the price of His death, set us free from sin, from the bondage of sin, that we should no longer serve it, that we don't have to live under it. It's great because we're free from sin because of His price. A great price. A lot of things are bought. A lot of things are bought. But nothing was bought greater than this salvation. The second reason that it's a great, chapter 4, verse 14 and 16. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." We have a great high priest. Not just a great high priest, but one that knows what we're going through. It's kind of what we talked about last night. He's been here. He had compassion. He had fear when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know he didn't want to go to that cross. He saw his mother there. He lost his friend Lazarus. He knows what's going on with us. That's why it's great. As he's sitting in heaven as our mediator right now, we can come boldly with confidence that he cares. God has listened to everything we say. And I'll tell you something, the prayers are great. We got Doug with us tonight. We've got Brother Sharp with us tonight. Brother George, my dad. Brother Kelly, he got run over by a tractor last year in his leg. We got Grant. We've got so many brethren that in the last year was laid up in the hospital. Heart surgeries. Brother Doug had a big John Deere flip over on him. And he's up walking. Is that not great? That's what's great about it, is he's listening. It just ain't like Aaron. They only could do so many things. Jesus is a great high priest that can deliver everything directly to God. Directly to him. That's another thing. If you're not a Christian, this avenue of prayer is not granted to you. It'd be tough to go through life knowing that God's not listening to me, because I need him. And I know everybody else needs him. Whether they know it or not, they need him. It's great because we have a great high priest and one that cares, one that's been through what we've been through. Has anybody ever, just this is really just kind of off, but I can't stand to think of this. Because I'm very close to my family, like my granny and my mama. And, you know, when you're in pain, your mama feels it. And I always try to think of this. These are the two things I always try to think of. Is that Jesus prayed three times in Gethsemane, and he still got up and went. If I don't feel like coming to church, I think he didn't quit on me. He got up. And then I always think, and not only did he go through everything he went through, but as he hung down on the cross, there stood his mother crying. That had to be horrible. Because you can usually take the pain, can't you? But you don't like to see others when they can't help you. That's not good. But always remember that. He's not just somebody sitting in heaven. He's been here. He's been here. He felt the pain of the spikes through his hands. These are all great things that we don't have to suffer because of the great salvation. The Hebrew writer told us in verse 9 of chapter 5, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." It's eternal. It's eternal. That's what we talked about last night. This world's not eternal. These pains, these weaknesses, these temptations, they're not forever, are they? But the salvation to come is forever and ever and ever. Just like Emerson said, we'll never be in a hurry to get anything done. Because all we have to do, it says, is to stand around the throne and praise him forever and ever, continually. That's our only job. Wouldn't that be nice? I'd like to do that instead of get up and go to work every morning. This salvation is great because it is forever. None of us can even fathom forever, can we? Sounds good, don't it? It's worth working for, ain't it? It's worth waiting on.
Amen.
It's worth us being here tonight in the like-mindedness for the same goal. It's great because it never ends. It's great. We're going to be out of here a lot sooner in the last few nights. The fourth reason is in chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 11 and verse 19. "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." That's one of my favorite songs, is Blessed Assurance. You can be assured of this great salvation. We serve a God that cannot lie. Isn't that great? You know, just quickly, I want to touch on something. I have a great friend that I grew up with since I was a child. He come to church with me a few times at Lafayette, but he's off in another religious body now. And he tells me there's no hell. And he tells me that there's a certain number going to heaven. And I said, "Well, do you think you're part of it?" He said, "Nope." And I said, "Well, what use are you doing? Why are you denying yourself the pleasure of sins if you don't have a reward to wait on you?" But isn't that great to know we have an assurance that there is a reward?
Amen.
He's waiting on us. He'll come back. He's coming back. It's great because we got hope. as we talked about last night, how bad would it be to go through life with everything that's going on and nothing to hope for? That's sometimes the only thing that gets us up out of bed, isn't it? Is some hope. Verse 19 says, which hope we have is the anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. It's the anchor of our soul. That's what will keep us coming back. That's what will keep us faithful. It's because it's anchored us down. I know everybody in here is getting geared up to go fishing, ain't they? Well, you better have the anchor because it's been raining like that, and the waters are going to be swift. And that's just the same way this world is. If you ain't anchored down, you get carried away by the current. You've got to be anchored. And this hope is what will anchor us down because it is part of the great salvation.
Amen.
I couldn't imagine not having any hope. I just can't imagine what keeps those people going every day. Who all likes basketball? This is the best time of the year for it, isn't it? March Madness and hope that there's a Cinderella out there. Could you just imagine not hoping for nothing? And that just got to put a smile on your face right there. He has gave us hope with full assurance. And it's even able to anchor us down. That's just great. That's why it's a great salvation. Here's one we touched on a little bit last night. Chapter 7. Verse 22 through 25. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Just briefly, who knows why it's a better testament? Well, the book of Hebrews tells us a lot. But number one, Old Testament couldn't get rid of sin, could it? It's a better surety of a testament mainly because it didn't get rid of sin. That's what allows us to have the hope to go to heaven, and we can be found sinless by the blood. The next verse says, and that they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. You see, his blood is able to wipe away all sin. No matter how bad we think it may be, it's able to cleanse it. And it goes all the way back to the beginning. That blood will clean it all. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? That's great. That's great. You know, just another little quick lesson is when you talk to people, don't they always look for these big sins? Well, he's a murderer. He's a liar. It's all in the same category, isn't it? But isn't it great that this great salvation is able to save to the utmost? It'll get rid of all of them. Whether it's a lie, whether you murdered, whether you committed adultery, whether you envy, it'll get rid of it all. And that's what we talked a little bit about last night. A lot of people leave the church because they think they got to be perfect. Or they think, I can never be good enough. Oh yeah, you can. Because this great salvation will cleanse away everything. It says it'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Pretty powerful three-letter word, all. All. It's great because it can cleanse all of our sins. Save us to the utmost. If you will, turn to chapter 9. We'll start in verse 11 through 17. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of the heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by the means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of a force, after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator living. It's great as salvation because it's blood bought. Blood bought. He offered his blood that we could have great salvation. How many of you is willing to go out there and cut yourself just so you can buy a candy bar or something? I know that's insignificant compared to your soul, but we're not even willing to do that for something that insignificant, are we? And he was willing to do it for the world that despised him. A world that, in essence, crucified him, didn't he? His blood purchased this great salvation. You know, and another thing that's very important, I think, is I don't know a lot about the Jewish religion, but they claim to still live under the old law. If you really paid attention to what we just read, Jesus don't have to go into the tabernacle every time we mess up. His blood was powerful enough to do it one time. Now, I've never had to slaughter a goat or anything, but that's got to be part of it. I mean, how would you like to do that every time you messed up? And I mess up a lot. It's great because we don't have to go through these things. That blood of those goats and stuff didn't have the power. Couldn't do these things. He only had to do it once. Poor old Aaron, I bet, was running ragged. Running in there offering all the time. It is greatest salvation because it's blood bought. Over in the same chapter, verse 28, it says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear with the second time, without sin unto salvation." Now, that's great, isn't it? And I know that's great to Jesse, because I can tell by the way he preaches. He's always preaching about the second coming and how it's going to be, those that come out of the great tribulation. Isn't that great? That kind of goes back to our hope that we're waiting and looking for this, aren't we? Now just think, if you were sitting at home tonight, not a child of God, you're sitting there, you're in fear and trembling, dreading that day of judgment, aren't you? Because you know when he comes back, he's coming back to gather his children, his church, those that are dead in Christ, those that have been faithful. He's coming back to get us. He said he'll never leave nor forsake thee. He'll be back. He's coming back, and that's great. That's great salvation. Whatever you're doing, one day you're going to look up and you're going to see Jesus in the clouds. Now, isn't that great? And it'll even be greater if you're found faithful. That song we sang, "There's a great day coming, there's a sad day coming." It's coming. And I hope we're found on the great side. It's great to think that he cares enough. We touched on that in John 14. He says, "And if I go, I'll come back. Come back." I don't know. I would think that there's been loved ones in your life that for some reason hadn't come back. That's not easy, is it? But you can bet he's coming back. That's just great to even to fathom. I don't really know how it's gonna occur, but I mean, just imagine looking up and all you can see is Jesus in the clouds. What about the people sending up air to meet him? What about that? Reckon people think they're crazy? I reckon a lot of people be scared to death, won't they? That's why it's a great salvation, because it's offered too now. It's offered now. On that day, it's too late. It'd be too late. It's great a salvation because it includes his second coming. And I just want to say something briefly. If you watch the History Channel or these other religious channels, he's already came, he's been, he's left, he's coming back. He's coming back one more time. And he ain't coming here. Won't be nothing to come back to. We'll go to meet him in the air. And I know Jesse, when I first met him, he always led that song. When the saints go marching in, it's great because we want to be in that number.
Amen.
We all want to be in that number. But we'll probably spend the last few minutes in this because I think this is something that's pretty important to us here that we can apply to our lives. It's so great a salvation because of the opportunity that He's given to His church. He's given to us. I believe most of us here are members of the Lord's church. Let's look in chapter 10 at verse 21 through 25. "And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." You see, if you take these one verse at a time we just read, in a sense it kind of sums up everything we went over. We have the high priest over the house of God. One of the songs I never knew it till probably, I guess, in the last 6 to 8 months is God's Family. Isn't it great to be part of God's family? I mean, that's great. Like I said, it don't matter where we go. There's a Church of Christ somewhere, and they'll be friendly, and they'll love you, and they'll be like-minded. It's great to have brethren all over the world, isn't it?
Amen.
No matter where you go. I've seen pictures back there, that brother that's, I can't recall where he's at, but he's off somewhere, but there's Christians over there. I don't know how he understands what they're saying, but they're Christians. That's got to be great. Oh, I guess they talk English when he says. That's great. But to be a part of the house of God is part of the great salvation. To have brethren that love you, edify you, and support you. It says, let us draw near with our true heart and full assurance. There's that full assurance again. He's given that to His church. That's what we talked about earlier. The world don't have hope. They're lost. And they're living in darkness. And unless we, as we spoke earlier in the week, unless they see this beacon of light, they'll remain that way. It's important that we try to show them this part of great salvation. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Man, isn't it bad to have something on your conscience? Whether it is, I just got to tell them. I got to tell them this. You might be mad. We hope we don't get mad, but we do. It might be whatever it is, but you've got to get it off your conscience, don't you? And that's what we've done with this great salvation. We've confessed our sins. We've repented of them. And we've been baptized and had them washed away. Our conscience is clear now. Man, I just couldn't imagine how I ever slept before obeying the gospel. I don't see how people sleep that know the truth. I couldn't imagine going to bed every night knowing that my soul was on a time frame. That'd be horrible. Lay in bed every night and wonder when's he coming. It'd be horrible. But he has sprinkled us from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We've been added to the Lord's church. Isn't that great? We know what all of our blessings contain in the Lord's church. And there again, it'd just be a shame to be outside looking in tonight. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Like I said, it's kind of summing up everything, isn't it? You can bank on this because He promised it. He's never lied, and He ain't going to lie. He's not slack concerning His promises like me. He's not slack. I don't intend to break promises, but it happens. I'm just a person. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to run out of gas. I've done that several times. Something's going to go wrong. And Grant said the other night, the first night of the meeting, he pulled up, ran in there, and got him a share, and started out with somebody then parked behind him. He said, whoever's behind me has got to go. Got to get to the meeting. But you see, God's nothing's going to get in the way of God, is it? He has promised us these things, and it's going to happen. Now that's just something. That's kind of like eternity to me, to think of somebody that can never break a promise, because I know nobody's ever meant to break one. I would like to think that. Now here's the most important part I want us to take from this. He knew that this was an opportunity. Remember, that's what we're talking about, opportunities given to the church. Do we remember what happened to Peter when he got separated from the disciples? He got weak. Denied Christ 3 times. He got weak. This is an opportunity given to the church. And let us consider one another. Consider one another. Remember, we're all in this together, right? When I make it, if I make it, as I plan to do, to that great white throne, I want to look around and see all these same faces. I want to consider one another. To provoke unto love and to good works. And I tell you, most of these men here, they've been with me since I've been in the church, and they have provoked me to good works. Brother Kelly's pushed me on the edge of doing everything I've ever done, I believe. He called me about this meeting. I said, Wayne, I don't know if I'm ready for a meeting. He said, oh, you ain't going to be if you don't do it. Thank you. But he has provoked me into good works. And that's what these men are for. That's an opportunity. You think anybody at work come up to me today and said, man, you know what? Let's go sing. Let's go down there and preach tonight. Ain't nobody provoked me to good works but my brother that loves me. It's an opportunity. And for you young men and women likewise, there's a lot to learn from these older folks. That's an opportunity that we have that's a part of this great salvation to come. It's a great opportunity. It really is. And as I spoke on last night, I passed up many years of opportunity to sit at the feet of a good man. But God provides again. He's granted me with a lot of good men to learn from today. And I'm thankful to each and every one of you. But that's an opportunity He's given to His church. To provoke one another, to consider one another. Isn't that great to know that I care about you and you care about me?
Amen.
That's wonderful. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. You ever wondered why he wants you to be here? That's part of it, man. He wants you to sing and offer spiritual sacrifices. He wants you to learn. But remember, we're kind of picking on Peter here. He wants you to finish the race. He wants you to receive this great salvation. He wants us to come together as we used last night to comfort one another and edify. Even as also we do, it says. Or you do. He wants us to make it. He didn't go through all that pain and leave heaven so that we could fall into the snares of the devil. He gave us each other that we could be strong. That's why we're supposed to come together on the first day of the week and in remembrance of His death, burial, and resurrection. But we're to help each other. Like we talked about earlier, basketball. There ain't one person on that team, are there? What about baseball kicking? Are they 9 on that one? And thankful to God's provisions, there's thousands of Christians across the world to help me and to help you make it to heaven. That's a great opportunity, isn't it? As the manner of some is, yeah, there's some of them that forsake it, don't they? There's some of them that sit at home, and the bad part of that is they're growing weak. They're growing weak. Remember that old devil, the lion, he's sitting there waiting, ain't he? We got to be together, guys. We're all in it together. And we want to make it out of here together. But exhorting one another as so much the more as you see the day approaching. Every time I see somebody, you see a brother or sister, you want to encourage them.
Amen.
And I'll tell you who is probably one of the best at that from Fifth Street and all the brethren I know, maybe because I've seen him all the time, but Ronnie Wiggins. No matter where I see him, matter whatever, he's got something he wants to say or ask about church. And that's always encouraging. I'm going to be down there. I'm going to come down there, I promise. Or how y'all doing down there at Lookout Hall? That's what it's about. He cares. He's considering me. He's considering the brethren at Lookout Hall. And that's wonderful. That is wonderful. to know that He cares. And I want Him to know that I care. That is a great opportunity that we have for each other. You know, the text, if you go back to the text, the first thought is how shall we escape? Friends and brethren, there is no escaping. There is no escaping the day of judgment. We all have an appointment that we're not going to break, don't we? It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So you can either be partakers of this great salvation now, or you can fear and dread that day of judgment. You can neglect the hope. You can neglect the brotherhood. You can do all these things, but there's no escaping it. You know, when we get caught up in this religious world that we have in the United States where nothing's wrong, everything's okay, accept everybody. And they even go as far as saying, well, God wouldn't send nobody to hell. Have they never read Genesis chapter 6? 8 people? I don't know what the population of the world is or was then, but I know He'll do it. That's all that matters. There is no escaping such a great salvation, friends. Why would you neglect it? Why would you neglect so great a salvation? All the provisions that was made so that you could escape hell. I don't understand that. I guess it comes to us later in life for some people. I guess I was about 24 when I woke up. You know, we talked about that last night. Account the long-suffering of Christ as salvation. Oh, He put up with a lot out of me. But how long will He put up with it out of you? That's something we all need to ask ourselves. This greatest salvation is great because of our great Lord and Savior. You know, there's nothing we could do by ourselves, are there? I don't understand why anyone would want to neglect something that was given so freely. Granny always says, if you lay a book down and tell them directions to $1 million, they'll fight over it. But you lay a Bible down and they'll step over it. That's the truth. That's the truth. They'll neglect so great a salvation for money, for pride, for fame, for many things, and none of it's worth it. If you are a Christian and you have been neglecting so great a salvation, as we learned in 1 John verse 1, 8, and 9, that if we can confess our sins one to another, He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're not a child of God, as we talked about the first night, all you got to do is let your faith motivate you into action. If you've heard the gospel of Christ and you believe it, all you got to do is confess it before men. Repent of your sins and be buried in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. And live faithful unto death. And he'll come back for you. And you can have full assurance of it.
Amen.
You know, I hope nobody leaves here tonight that is neglecting so great a salvation. That's what we all come out and set forth to do this week, was to help souls make it to heaven. If there's anything that anybody can do, we have a lot of faithful brothers and sisters that would love to teach you or encourage you or help you along this pilgrim way. If there's anything that can be done tonight, now come as we stand and sing.
Oh, we and tender in Jesus is called.